Our gospel lesson for this Sunday comes from the 21st chapter of Luke, and I will explain its context in the midst of the sermon. These are words ascribed to Jesus by the author. There will be signs of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things began to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we had the privilege of experiencing a magnificent music program during worship. And it felt a bit like a pre-Christmas Eve service and a bit of a respite from the challenging theme of Advent. But we're back at it today. Our overarching theme for Advent this year is about journeying through the wilderness as our way of preparation for Christmas Day. So 2 Sundays ago, on the first Sunday of Advent, we jumped ahead in the assigned lectionary gospel readings to begin with Luke's story of John the Baptist coming out from the wilderness to call us to bear good fruit as witness to our repentance. And John reveals that we prepare the way of the Lord, the ways of the kingdom of God, through acts of generosity and fairness and unselfishness and justice. However, since John's message of wilderness wandering, of repentance, sounds more like the season of Lent, I ended that sermon with the challenge to put a little Lent in your Advent this year. Well, with that as our starting off place for the season of Advent this year, we now jump back to the lectionary gospel reading assigned for the first Sunday of Advent, and it is even more dramatic than John's call to repentance. Just when you wish we would start talking about the baby Jesus and singing familiar Christmas carols, the lectionary forces us to face the end of the world, at least as we know it. The gospel writer has Jesus warn us about catastrophic events in the heavens and on earth, accompanied by fear and foreboding, that will announce, quote, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, the term for this kind of literature is called apocalyptic. And the subject of apocalyptic literature in the Bible mostly deals with eschatology. And that's the fancy theological term for the study of the end times, the ultimate destiny of the created order. But what, you may ask, does this have to do with preparing us for Christmas? Well, for most of the history of Christianity, the church has assigned a twofold message to the season of Advent. First, it was designed as a season that prepares us for remembering and celebrating Christ's first coming as the baby Jesus born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. And that's called the Incarnation. And yes, thankfully, the lectionary will finally get around to that next Sunday. Yet Advent also seeks to direct our hearts and minds to await Christ's second coming at the end of time. Now, whether taken literally or not, and progressives generally do not, the scripture passages assigned by the lectionary for the four Sundays of Advent are meant to remind us that Christians are living in between the times, the time between Jesus' first coming and Christ's final return. Or as many theologians prefer to state, Advent celebrates the tension between the now and the not yet. And this Christ event extends across these two comings. Well, it's important to note that most modern biblical scholars believe that the gospel writers thought that Jesus' second coming was imminent within their lifetime. And that being the case, these authors warned believers to be on guard and to be alert at all times, understandably. Strangely, however, all this is meant as a message of hope. So let's look at how that is. First of all, we are warned that amid the destruction and the devastation that are ever taking place in the world, we are to keep ourselves grounded and centered in God. In the midst of the craziness that screams out of the daily headlines, we are to recognize the presence of Christ, God's sacred presence in the world around us and within us. So what works best for you to keep yourself grounded besides a good Chardonnay? What helps you to get centered and to stay focused in God? Well, this morning's Old Testament reading also contains a message of hope. The prophet Jeremiah addresses God's people who find themselves in exile in Babylon, a horrible situation, separated from their homeland and subjugated by a foreign enemy. Jeremiah proclaims that their time of exile is coming to an end, and that God envisions a new future of hope and promise and restoration. And in the words of the prophet, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David, for David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety." But what does that have to say to us today? Well, Lenora Tubbs Tisdale suggests this. Advent is a time for acknowledging the exilic, the exile conditions of life for those persons in the world who live in situations of injustice, who experience unrighteousness under the hands of the powers of those over them. And whether we're talking about victims of war, or domestic violence, or human trafficking, whether we are envisioning people who feel the heel of the economic oppressor on their backs, or those who bear the weight of political oppression on their heads, Advent is a time for proclaiming the promises of God. And she continues, "The tree stump that looks to be dead and incapable of any new growth will, under the miraculous workings of God, send forth a new shoot, a tiny baby who will continue the Davidic line. And under his rule, there will be no more oppression and subjugation, for God will inaugurate a new day and a new reign in which the peoples of the earth will live in freedom and safety and peace." Let me ask, have you or do you
Ever feel like you are in a time of exile, of separation? Separation from that which brings you healing and wholeness. If so, look for signs of hope and opportunities for restoration during this wilderness journey through Advent. And instead of thinking of the end times in capital letters, as in the end of the world as we know it, perhaps we can focus on those endings in our own lives and in our community of faith. Perhaps instead of focusing on the apocalypse with a capital letter A, we can attend to the apocalyptic events in our daily lives. Perhaps there is an encouraging word for each of us as we navigate the in-between times of our lives, those times between the now and the not yet. In the poems that are being read this year during the lighting of the Advent wreath each week are written by Jan Richardson, an artist, writer, retreat leader, and ordained minister in the United Methodist Church. And reflecting on today's gospel passage, a year after the sudden death of her husband, she reflects, "The ending of one's personal world is not the same, I know, as the end of the world that Jesus describes here. Yes, this Sunday of Advent invites us to recognize that these endings, though, are connected. That the Christ who will return at the end of time somehow inhabits each ending that we experience in this life. Every year, Advent calls us to practice the apocalypse, to look for the presence of Christ who enters into our every loss, who comes to us in the midst of devastation, who gathers us up when our world has shattered, and who offers the healing that is a foretaste of the wholeness that God is working to bring about not only at the end of time, but also in this time, in this place." As we continue our wilderness journey through the season of Advent, I will close this sermon by asking the closing question asked by Jan Richardson. Is there something in your life that is ending? How might you look for the presence of Christ who comes to you in that place? May God bless and guide and strengthen and comfort us as individuals and as a community of faith as we try to navigate the living of life between the now and the not yet. Blessings and amen.